Well, good morning, friends. It's so good to be back with you this Tuesday morning. We're having a wonderful time studying the Word of Almighty God, making our way through the Scriptures, beginning at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a study of the rapture. We spent 2 weeks there, and then at the rapture, we get our new bodies. We are miraculously changed. The corruption puts on incorruption. The mortal puts on immortality. And we spent 2 weeks looking at our new body. And the judgment seat of Christ next, we followed into that because that would be the next event after the rapture. We spent 3 weeks talking about the judgment seat of Christ and how we're rewarded for being faithful, how we're shamed by not using our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will receive reward, some will suffer shame, the Scripture says. Then we spent 2 weeks looking at our future home, heaven, the New Jerusalem, and the wonder of that. Then last week we started looking at the new heaven and the new earth. And so we see the stipulation of the new heaven and the new earth. And it might have been time-wise, segment-wise, to have studied the millennial first, the thousand-year reign of Christ. But we wanted to pick up this segment as we are looking into heaven and what it all means to us. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Mankind has longed for some kind of heaven on earth. We talked about it last week. All the attempts by presidents and philosophers and intellectuals trying to bring forth a utopia of some style or some type. There's that longing in all of our hearts for something perfect. Ecclesiastes 3:11, God hath put eternity in every human's heart. God made us that way. It's down in our soul. God said in every soul, there's a little like a little dome light that the Holy Spirit can connect with. And God says, don't you put out that light. You listen to the Word of God. You let the Holy Spirit deal in your heart and your life. This new heaven, new earth is an answer to God's, the Lord's prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it will be when Jesus Christ will reign on this earth, out of Jerusalem. This prayer is going to be answered. But not in this world system, because Satan is the god of this world system, the prince of the power of the air. But we're going into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he'll reign on earth, and we'll rejoice in the middle of that. Now, let me break down our outline again for us and bring us back to where we stopped last Tuesday. Number one, we talked about the promise of a new heaven and a new earth all through the Scripture. Old Testament, full of it. Psalm 102, Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah 66:22, all talking about this new heaven and this new earth. Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, with him talking about it, he just gives us a whole overview of the whole thing. So we see throughout the Word of God, God's promise to us, the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Then the second thing we looked into was the purification and transformation of the new heaven and the new earth. Now, I told you last week there wasn't enough time to cover all the Scripture dealing with this subject. There is so much of it. The timeline, you remember, if we start at the rapture of the church, then the seven-year tribulation on earth up in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, the wonderful time with eternity, then back down to earth, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the second coming. Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives. It's split asunder. He goes into battle. Satan and all the world that had gathered together that had rejected Christ have come to battle against the Lord in the Valley of Megiddo. The blood's going to a 200 million man army. They're going to be slaughtered by the sword of his mouth. This same God that said, let there be light, when he says, let there be death, these people are going to be massacred. It's not going to really be a war. It's going to be an execution. Satan's then thrown in the bottomless pit, chained for 1,000 years. Antichrist and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, Gehenna, the first two occupants. And the millennial begins, Satan bound 1,000 years, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And we'll talk about that beginning of the millennial next week. Satan is released after 1,000 years to tempt mankind again. An amazing thing, with a perfect environment, with Jesus reigning out of Jerusalem, because of man's wicked, sinful heart, many of them rebel against Jesus and flock to Satan. Satan is defeated in the battle of Gog and Magog. He's cast into the lake of fire. All the wicked dead are brought before the great white throne judgment and are judged out of the books before Almighty God. And then, when God finishes the white throne judgment, all the wicked dead have been cast into the lake of fire and are being punished for their sins for eternity. Then God destroys this old heaven and earth. And we talked about it in 2 Peter 3:3-13, where Peter so eloquently, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes it. He told us, number one, there'll be a time of scoffing and denying of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His second coming, like they're ridiculing Him today and mocking Him. It says they will reject God's past judgment and creation. They willingly, the Bible says, are ignorant of this. Ignorant that God created the heavens and the earth. Friends, it's all around us. God said day into day, night into night, it speaks, it preaches to us that Jesus is Christ, that God is the God of heaven. Even the Bible says it's Godhead. And it's evidence everywhere around us. And then in verse 7, he talked about an appointment with judgment that this old world's kept in store, carefully kept by God until that day. Man's not going to destroy the earth. God is. There's going to be an overheating, all right, but it's going to be when God judges it with fire. And then he warns people to beware of what's coming. There's already a time appointed. It's flowing toward it rapidly. And God says, be warned, be ready. Well, we say, well, it hadn't happened yet. Remember, God, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Fourth thing that Peter told us was the long-suffering love of God. Verse 9, where he talked about that God is long-suffering, desiring that no man should perish. But then he tells us that the day of destruction will come. As sure as God is God, as sure as God has promised the truth, he said it's going to come. Listen, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. We talked about, what do you think about all these volcanoes around the world, in Hawaii, in Yellowstone, and all over the world, exploded? Remember what Mount Helen, what a catastrophe that was in that region. What if every volcano in the world exploded at once? We're sitting on a raging core of fire beneath our feet. Everything around us is explosive. Oxygen in the air, highly flammable. Water, God charged it with a great electrical charge. H2O, hydrogen explosive, oxygen explosive. Each little atom is a tiny furnace within its little wee self. So he made the statements, the elements shall melt. The Greek word means the components of matter. We know them as atoms. They're literally going to melt. And he says things, all these things are going to be dissolved, luo, to break up, to unloose, to melt, with a great noise, a rushing sound of a great fire. Roizidon is the Greek word. And then we see the new heaven and the new earth in same chapter of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where he tells us this wonderful truth. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Won't that be wonderful? Wherefore, beloved, listen now, seeing you look for these things, and I hope you are, Be diligent that you be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent about the things of Almighty God. Let's live our lives for his glory, for his praise. So, we've looked at the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. We looked at the purification and destruction of the old earth. And now, number three, the principles of the new heaven and the new earth. What's it going to be like? See, there's a longing in us for paradise. We look forward, don't we? A perfect world without corruption of sin, without all this rebellion, where people walk with the Lord. He talks with us in the cool of the day like he did Adam and Eve. A new earth. Now, when he says a new earth, we can expect to find earthly things there. They're going to be the heavens, the atmosphere, the beautiful stars, the solar system, mountains, water, trees, cities, buildings. Because see, there's going to be human beings. They're going to need a world. Because they won't be human beings on the new heaven and new earth, but in the old world when the curse is ridiculed, and we'll talk about that next week on the millennium. I keep trying to blend these two together. I got to stay focused on the new heaven and the new earth, and we'll get to the millennial earth next. But like our glorified bodies have some of the old body when we're resurrected, that we're identified, that you are still the same you. I'll still be David Bowler, but I'm going to be a glorified David Bowler. Revelation 21 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, these two words for new in the Greek language, one is new and never existed before. The other is new in quality of design. This is a new and glorified heaven and earth with all the destruction and depravity and curse and sin destroyed. Now God makes a greater masterpiece. And we talked about it last week in Romans chapter 8, 18 through 23, where God talked about the new heaven and the new earth. And we talked about that groaning, all creation groans, and you and I groan and long like that. You hear it in the night winds blowing, and that groaning of the wind, the longing cry of creation. Martin Luther said, our Lord has written the promise of the resurrection, not in his word alone, but in every new leaf at springtime. The whole creation awaits redemption of the Lord. Now, there will be things on the new earth that will bring God's best of the old earth. God will incorporate some of these in. The best, one writer said, the best parts of the old world we get sneak previews of the new one, like little foretastes, like licking the spoon when your mother is making a chocolate cake for supper. That's a good illustration, isn't it? C.S. Lewis said this, if the wrong side of heaven can be so beautiful, what will the right side look like? The new earth will still be as much earth glorified as the new you will still be you, and yet glorified and amazingly changed. Well, let's talk about some of this. Get your Bible, turn over to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And here's the first thing, the removal of the sea. This is amazing. I mean, I love the ocean. I love to go with the ocean and swim and walk along the beach and watch the sunset. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. No more Atlantic Ocean, no more Gulf, no more Red Sea. Now, see, this was kind of a surprise to me. It was the oceans of the world gone. Three quarters of our present world is covered by oceans. Now, scientists realize that the salt seas function as a great antiseptic to cleanse the earth and make life possible here. You know, when they had a big oil spill, they said, no, it's run forever. It cleaned itself amazingly. God designed it that way. The salt seas purge, cleanse, and preserve the earth. On the new earth, that's not necessary. There's no germs, there's no disease, there's no sickness. Now, there will be a fresh water river flowing out of the throne of God. Remember when we looked at the New Jerusalem, Revelation 22, 1 and 2, he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Flowing water. Now, when it flows out, it's got to go somewhere, right? We would expect beautiful lakes, freshwater lakes, and other rivers. One writer even said, and, you know, people are speculating, we will even have new freshwater oceans. It's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see the new heaven and the new earth. Dr. Henry Morris, renowned creation scientist, said this. Let me quote him for you. And here's what he said. There will be, in fact, no need of a sea on the new earth. The present sea is needed for a reservoir for the maintenance of the hydrologic cycle. In the new earth, all men and women who live there will have their glorified bodies with no more need of water. Their resurrected bodies will be composed like that of the Lord Jesus of flesh and bone, but apparently with no need of blood to serve as a cleanser and restore the body's flesh as it is at the present in these human bodies. This, in turn, eliminates the major need for water on earth. Blood is 90% water, and present-day human flesh is about 65% water. That's interesting, isn't it, when you think about all of these different things, when you think about the new heaven and the new earth. But we look at the Word of God. Number one, God said there'll be no more sea. So we know God is going to remove the oceans in this new heaven and this new earth. Then he says the second thing, Revelation 22, 3, the curse is removed. Listen, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, his name shall be in their foreheads. There'll be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. He's talking about the New Jerusalem there, but the fact is the curse has been removed. As you recall, it was the curse in Genesis 3 that created our present earth environment. This was brought on by Adam and Eve sinning against the Lord. The ground was cursed with thistles and thorns. It caused difficulty in growing crops that God said we would earn our food only by the sweat of our brow, and our descendants would eke out a living. You know, isn't it amazing? Weeds will grow on a sidewalk, little cracks in a sidewalk. Our driveway and the pad right behind our house is made of bricks. And I have to spray those bricks every summer with a grass killer probably 3 or 4 times a summer. And even with that poison, they still come up and grow. And just... It's amazing. Weeds will grow anywhere because of the curse. The most critical curse was the fact that man would die. The wages of sin is death. No longer live forever. And death becomes a part of earth and a part of the structure and a part of our world. You know, a question, what would our lives be like if the curse were lifted? No more death. That's going to happen. No more thorns and thistles. No more profitless toil. You see, the redemption of Jesus Christ not only delivers us from the curse, but also delivers the earth from the effects of sin. And the earth that God has created is longing, God says, that the earth longs for the curse to be removed. Let me read it to you again from Romans, in case you weren't here with us last week. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the in the Bible. I'll teach a whole week on this one chapter sometime when I'm in teaching at Christian schools and teaching the Bible classes and things like that. But listen to verse 18. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. That's true, isn't it? For the earnest expectation of the creation, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole world is waiting when the sons of God are renewed. We have our new bodies, and God is going to not only change us, but God is going to change the world. Listen, for the creation was made subject to vanity, emptiness, profitlessness, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Wow! Isn't that something? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Man, what an exciting thing. And then he says, he ties in, and not only they, not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, longing, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ not only delivers us from the curse, but also the earth from the effects of sin. The earth and humanity will again be as God intended it to be, perfect. Now, Roman numeral number four, if you want to take your Bible and turn with me over to the book of Ephesians and chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verses 9 and 10 and what God says to us here. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Everything is going to be gathered and restored. Things in heaven and things in earth. Now today there's a great division between heaven and earth. God is in heaven. Man is on earth. The Holy Spirit indwells us so that we are in fellowship with the Lord and he is with us. But see, God is going to make all of it one again, ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus will have the new city, the new Jerusalem, on the new earth. The new Jerusalem will come down onto the new earth and be the capital of heaven. In Jerusalem, you'll have a suite, a condo-like, like having one in Hawaii or down on the beach or in the mountains. We'll have the whole new earth to be able to go and see and look at and worship the Lord in it. The entire universe, created universe of God for us to enjoy. We won't be limited by space or time. And then the Father's house. That a mansion at the Father's house. What a glorious thing the Bible talks about. We still don't completely understand all of it. But listen, friends, we ought to have a fresh and new anticipation of what's coming. I hope this excites you. We think of the starry heavens are beautiful now. We look at them at night. Nothing like what it's going to be. I was ministering out in 29 Palms, California, just at the big Marine Corps base there. One of the Marines told me, he said, "Preacher, you want to see the stars? Go out, it's about 15 miles outside the base, go into Joshua Tree National Park. It's high desert mountain. Even in the summer up there, it's cool at night." And so Sue and I went in about 10 o'clock at night. Everybody had gone, and it was real still and quiet. Didn't see another car or thing. It's so far out, there's no city lights or anything like that. We got out and we looked up at the sky. And friends, it was like a carpet of stars. There are no dark spots. There are no bare spots. The heaven is literally full. I told Sue, I feel like laying in this road on my face. I feel like I'm in a cathedral before Almighty God. But friends, listen, nothing is to be compared to what God has coming for us. Remember that? Remember the promise that God gave us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. What a wonderful promise. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We, as much as we imagine with our best imagination, we can't imagine the glory and the wonder of all this. Laughter, no tears. Life, no death. Singing and praise without sorrow. Time, pleasure without pain. Deep peace without fear, worry, anxiety. Most of all, our Savior is going to be there. The one who redeemed us. Our beloved Heavenly Father is going to be there, who adopted us. The Holy Spirit, who has guided us and sealed us and marked us. The resplendent, brilliant, sparkling New Jerusalem. The new heaven, the new earth, mountains, rivers, lakes, forests, animals, beautiful skies. Listen, the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Dear friend, do you know him? Have you trusted him? If not, I plead with you, trust the Lord Jesus Christ today, that you may glorify and magnify his precious and holy name with your life, miss the flames of hell, and be with the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, we've enjoyed having you with us today as we've studied the wonderful Word of God. Next week, we're going to drop back in time and look at the millennial reign, what it'll be like for us as eternal beings living on an earth that is populated by human beings like what we used to be. That's going to be interesting. Don't miss this study. Tell your friends and to tune in with us. We'll enjoy the wonderful time with the Word of Almighty God. And I mean, and keep praying. Pursue and I pray for the station, Tommy, the staff, the team. Pray for resources to meet the need, enlarge the station, double the power to get the Word of God out so people can know the truth, and the truth will set them free. They'll be saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Well, until next week, this is David Bowler. It's my prayer that the Lord will richly, richly bless you.